Good morning, everyone. It is a joy to welcome you here to the First Baptist Church in Beverly on this fourth Sunday in Lent. However you are joining us, whether you are here in the sanctuary at 221 Cabot Street or joining us via our YouTube live stream, our worship experience is made more full, more complete by your presence here. Thank you for being here this morning. And now, let our hearts and our minds and our spirits be stilled. And allow now the spirit of Lent to move into our lives and to move us into a spirit of worship. Friends, behold how great a love that God has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, God's children. As children, we are not yet fully formed. What we will one day be has yet to be revealed, for we are still in the process of becoming. What we do know is this: when God is revealed to us, we become more and more like God. Our own image becomes a more perfect reflection of God's image. And this is why we are here, to see God as God really is, so that we may be who God made us to be. We begin with an acclamation of this unwavering love of God for us. In hymn number 75, I was there to hear your morning cry. Come, let us worship.
In our prayer of invocation, we pause to ask God to join us in this place, and even more, to ask that God would make us more aware of the divine presence that is always with us. Afterwards, we will pray the Lord's Prayer. As we do, we invite you to use the words debts and debtors, or whichever words feel most sacred and meaningful to you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have declared that you are with us through every season of our earthly lives, from our very first breath to our very last, and at every moment between. You are our constant companion, Yet the noisiness in our day-to-day lives, the distractions, the clutter and frenzy, the frictions and even hostility, so often drown out the still small voice announcing your presence. Even in those moments when we manage to be still, the voices that echo inside us can make it hard for us to recognize the most important truth that our inward reflection should reveal, that you, your image, and your spirit are there within. Draw near to us this morning, we pray, that we may see and understand in our deepest hearts that what we find when we embrace the opportunity to slow down and reflect is you. Draw near and lead us ever deeper into you. That wondrous work you began in us at the start may be made complete. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 7 through 13. I will be reading again from the First Egalitarian Translation, the Inclusive Bible. Hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. In the course of his preaching, John said, "One more powerful than I is to come after me. I am not fit to stoop and untie his sandal straps. I have baptized you in water, but the one to come will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." It was then that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan River by John. Immediately upon coming out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Then a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved, my own. On you my favor rests." Immediately, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness, and he remained there for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels looked after him. Our second reading this morning is from the letter of Paul, the first letter of Paul to the believers in Corinth. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Love never fails. Prophecies will cease, tongues will be silent, knowledge will pass away. Our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophesying is imperfect. When the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became an adult, I put childish ways aside. Now we see indistinctly, as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. My knowledge is imperfect now. Then I will know even as I am known. There are, in the end, three things that last: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of these holy words. Amen. As we come to a season of morning prayer, I want to encourage us to lean a little bit more fully into a practice that we have already incorporated into our prayer times during this season of Lent. We have at the back, the deacons and greeters have been handing out little devotional slips that are tied to the particular themes that we're exploring each week. And this week we have these devotional slips that are really focusing on what it is that we see in the mirror. The opportunity that we have to look inward and to reflect on what it is that we see, and maybe even to be able to glimpse a little bit of God's divine work within us. And so, as we have in our prayer times the previous weeks, we will at one moment during this morning prayer pause to reflect a bit on the unique devotional slip that you may have picked up with you this morning. And if you don't have one with you this morning, you can signal to have somebody come around with one for you, or you can simply use that time to reflect more broadly on what it is you see when you look within. But I'm also going to encourage us to enter into other moments of silence in this prayer in a directed way. I'm going to direct our attentions to various things that we may want to pay attention to and focus on as we pray, and then open up a season of silence where each of us might be able to lift our unique prayers to God in those moments. The 13th century Persian poet Rumi says, "There is a silence into which the world cannot intrude. There is an ancient peace you carry in your heart and have not lost. There is a sense of holiness in you the thought of sin has never touched." So let us boldly enter into that kind of silence, wherein we might find God at work even deep within us. Let us pray. Holy God, how quick we are sometimes to rush in and fill empty spaces with words, especially when we are coming before you. Whether we just can't get our minds to stop or slow down, or whether we are anxious about what will happen, what we will end up saying, what we will blurt out if we sit in silence before you, or maybe even fearful that if we're not speaking, no one will. Holy God, help us to know that you are here with us in these times of prayer. And whether we are filling the space with words or not, you hear us and you intercede with groanings too deep for words. Creator God, your creation is so much with us. It is there in the things that we see, in the sounds that we hear, in the flavors that we taste, in the fragrances that we smell, in the sensations that we feel. In all of it, we are experiencing something of you. We give thanks for all that we have encountered in nature that gave us joy or a glimpse of you this week. Divine spark, your creation is also within us. You breathed into us life and your spirit. You placed an ember of your very being within each of us, and we are reflections of your image. We pause now to reflect on the devotional slips that we have received, which draw us deeper into a consideration of your presence within. Eternal companion, you have brought other people into our lives this week, and we are more whole on account of it. Not that every encounter with others has been loving and peaceful. Sometimes they have brought us aggravation and befuddlement, even anger. But every one of them offered us an opportunity to learn more about ourselves and about you. So we remember and give thanks for those experiences of others that filled our week. God of mercy, in reflecting on those encounters with others, we may be reminded of times when we have disturbed the peace and joy for another person. We ask forgiveness in this silence for those times. Holy Comforter, we may also be reminded of the needs that others have shared with us. Needs for joy, for peace, for physical well-being and safety, for comfort. We lift to you now those needs of others and the needs of ourselves, all those needs that you have placed on our hearts. And Prince of Peace, we lift to you as well the needs of the greater world beyond our reach, a world that we know does not yet know fully your peace. God of grace, thank you for hearing our prayers, for joining us in our prayers, for answering our prayers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we've been thinking about mirrors these past 2 weeks, well, actually last week and today. And one interesting thing about mirrors or how they work to help us see our reflection is that there's something a bit unique about it to largely the human experience, but not only the human experience. You see, scientists have done some studies trying to determine what other animals might be able to perceive their reflection in a mirror. And really what that tells us is not just perceiving their reflection, but how do we perceive ourselves as a self, distinct and apart from other selves, distinct and unique in the world? Now, the way that scientists try to study this, and there's sort of disagreement about how much this really tells us about an animal's ability to perceive itself as a self, unique and distinct from other selves in the world. But they start by using anesthesia to put an animal to sleep, putting a small red dot on a part of the animal's body that could be seen in the mirror, but that the animal itself doesn't typically see. So, for example, for a dog, not on the front paw. When the animal wakes up, they're shown a reflection in the mirror, and if the animal goes to investigate the dot on their body, scientists hypothesize that that might be a way of understanding that the animal understands itself in the reflection, a unique self in the world, apart and distinct from other selves. Human beings can do this, but not until they're toddlers or older, when we've started to learn to mirror not only our parents' interactions, but those of others that we see around us. And so we understand ourselves as unique and divinely created selves apart from other selves in the world, but not right away. We learn, deepen, and grow in that knowledge. Other animals that can pass this mirror test are different kinds of apes and chimpanzees, but surprisingly, or maybe not, many types of small fish are able to discern a red mark placed on their body that is apart from what they usually understand to be part of themselves. And some animals have successfully begun to learn to view the reflection in the mirror as their self, unique and apart from other selves. So, mirrors, they reflect something back to us. They reflect something back to us about ourselves, who we are in the world, a unique self apart and distinct from other selves. Mirrors have a way of calling us not only to reflection, though, but introspection. What is that red mark someone put on me? Is that really me in the mirror? Let me just fix my hair a little bit. Did I have that in my teeth all day and nobody told me? Mirrors invite us into reflection, but also introspection. But they also invite us into a deeper kind of introspection, than the examples I just gave you. They help us to recognize ourselves as uniquely and divinely created, beloved children of God, and then to move inward, to consider what that means for each of us as a unique child of God, apart and distinct from others, and yet connected to others. During our women's retreat this weekend, we had the opportunity to move through a time of Lectio Divina, a divine reading of Psalm 103. And in the group of which I was a part, some of the women noticed a line that said, "You know what we are made of, God. You know what we are made of hopes and of dreams, of prayers and of blessings, of love and of wishes, of stardust, of light, of divine spark and beauty. You know, O God, what we are made of." And because God knows what we are made of, God sometimes sorrows at what we have become. Those parts of us that can get tripped up, filled with division, misconceptions about others, mistrust, prejudices, hate, and violence. God sorrows at what we have become because God knows what we are made of. God's divinely created, beloved children in a good creation. Mirrors help to reflect back to us that truth about who we are. Divinely created children of God, filled with love and with the divine spark. God's love is that mirror reflecting that truth back to us. And God's love is the honest, truth-telling, poor, amplifying, magnifying mirror that shows us the hard stuff too. It won't lie to you. You've got something in your teeth. You've got chocolate on your face. You've got mistrust or prejudice in your heart. It won't lie to you. So we're invited when we see those reflections not to turn away from the less beautiful pieces of who we are, but instead to use that honest amplifying mirror of God's love to do the work, to remove those less beautiful bits. Because God knows the things we are made of love and hope and prayers and blessings, of stardust and divine spark. And God's mirror of love reflects back to us what it is that we need to remove that stuff in the teeth of our soul, so to speak. The mistrust, the misconceptions, the prejudice, the hatred, the divisions, the things that bring God sorrow. You know for what we are made, God, and you know of what we are made. God's love is a mirror that helps to reflect that back to us. And mirrors have this way of reflecting and then inviting us to draw inward. The passage that Daniel, wow, I just made you Jesus. I was on a women's retreat. I am very tired. The passage that Daniel read for us about Jesus's baptism, but more importantly about what happens right after Jesus's baptism, is an example of what it is to be drawn inward, but in a way that then helps us to expand outward. Sometimes it's this paradigm with mirrors, isn't it? Reflection that draws us inward that feels like maybe it's getting small. We're just focused on ourselves, is actually a path to getting bigger, to expanding more broadly. And that's what I think that scripture passage can help us to understand, because we who are called to follow Jesus' example can learn something here from Jesus. Jesus is baptized, and as we heard in the scripture, God's voice is heard claiming Jesus as a divine child of God, beloved, with whom God is well pleased. God knows what we are made of. Divinely created children of God with whom God is well pleased. But just at the moment that Jesus hears that voice, just at the moment that Jesus is called to embark on his public ministry, he goes away. He slips away from the crowds and the people and the hubbub and all of it. And he goes, as we say in the baptism class, on what sounds like a terribly rustic retreat. He goes off by himself into the wilderness to be able to draw inward, to reflect, to consider the ministry and the call that is before him, to prepare. Now, this can feel like a very inward, small moment, except what does this moment of Jesus's life teach us? It teaches us that Jesus is drawing inward, reflecting inward, to be able to expand outward. Because when Jesus comes back out of the wilderness, that's when he begins his public life and ministry. That's when he's ready to serve. Drawing inward to consider what it is that we see reflected there is a way of helping to open up the room of our hearts, to expand the room of our hearts big enough and broad enough and wide enough to encompass the whole world. At Theology on Tap, Daniel said something that helped us to consider the way that mirrors actually do that. We were sitting in the room chatting and we were talking about which piece of the Lenten theme has spoken to us or called to us the most. Is it the windows? Are people thinking about mirrors? Are they excited for doors? And interestingly, we started to shift and almost everyone was answering not just what had spoken most to us, but about where we felt like we needed the most work, which thing was calling to us the most. We were reflecting without knowing it into the mirrors of ourselves and expanding, considering the ways that reflection then invites us to expand. And then Daniel pointed out that there was a mirror on the wall in the room we were sitting, and he said, "Well, I'm mindful of the property that mirrors have to make a room feel bigger." Mirrors reflect to us what is. They can invite us to draw inward and consider, but they also are a tool to help us expand out, to get bigger, to broaden the circle. Our children actually helped us think about that inadvertently last week at Step Sitters when, as they were peering into this mirror here at the front, Annika was looking and I'd invited them to see themselves as God sees them. And Annika said, "Well, I see my mom." By which she meant, beyond her own reflection, she saw not only her mom, but all of you, all of the people reflected here in this place. Mirrors draw us inward, invite us to consider ourselves as unique selves in the world, and then invite us to see past ourselves, to expand broadly into what is beyond God's beautiful and beloved world. The second scripture we heard this morning reminds us of that call. This portion of 1 Corinthians is actually from a longer portion that is probably familiar to many of us. It's a commonly selected portion of scripture read at weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant or boastful or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Love never fails. Which is where our passage picked up today. Now, we don't as often read this next portion at weddings about seeing indistinctly in a mirror. And I love this translation of the text that we heard read today from the First Egalitarian Bible translation, because we often hear this verse as through a mirror darkly, but this translation invites us to consider indistinctly. We see indistinctly. But then we will be known fully. We don't always read this portion at weddings, but perhaps we should, because in all of our relationships, not just between a couple coming together and making promises to each other, in our friendships, in our coworker relationships, in our community relationships, with the relationships to those in our neighborhoods with whom we share customs and traditions and those all around this world, how often is it that we see indistinctly? We see what's on the surface, but every human being is a world below. What would it be like if we were truly able to see past, to see people as God sees them, to see with God's eyes, face to face? Because that scripture reminds us that when we're able to do that, when we can remove all of the rest, everything that gets in our way and clouds our vision, we see as God sees, face to face, what remains is love. What remains is love. You know, O God, of what we are made. of prayer and blessings, dreams and hopes, of stardust, of divine spark, of love. And you know, O God, for what we are made, for dreams and blessings, for prayers and hope, for divine spark of connection, for love. For love. So may it be so. Amen.
I hear that the opportunity to reflect inward is a step on the way to expanding outward, to expand our hearts so that they may take in the whole big world. The response of love for that world includes an impulse to give of what we have, so that world may be made more like what God intends for it to be. Let us give out of that love for that whole big world.
Our service of worship has ended, and as we prepare to go, I call to mind for you the story, the fable of Old Turtle and the Broken Truth, another way of thinking about the way mirrors both reflect and expand. Because the broken truth reveals one half. You are loved. It feels good, doesn't it? You are loved, you are loved, you are loved. But if you have the whole truth, it says you are loved, and so are they. And wherever the mirror is placed, the reminder calls to us more and more expansively that God's love is a mirror expanding us for love around the whole world. So may you go forth this day secure and held in the knowledge that you are loved. And may you go forth with the firm conviction that that love calls you to expand your heart wide enough for God's whole world and encircle it close. May you go in peace. Amen.